1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app. The talk of
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. U.S. pushing for a humanitarian pause in Gaza to avoid more casualties and get more aid in. It comes as Israel says forces have encircled Gaza City and Hamas holdouts. ABC's Inez de la Catera is in Jerusalem.
In their view, they're making good progress and they're going to continue to push deeper and deeper into Gaza. It's still unclear just how far they will go and what they will do once they get there. You know, should they take over all of the Gaza Strip? What then? You know, who takes control and how long does Israel remain and what leader then takes over?
The House set to vote on an emergency aid bill for Israel tonight, but it faces an uphill battle in the Senate without adding Ukraine funding to the bill. In New York, the jury now deliberating the federal fraud and conspiracy trial of Sam Bankman-Fried, former crypto CEO, charged with defrauding customers and using that money to bankroll lavish personal expenses for himself and the hedge fund. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group that wants Wisconsin's elections administrator impeached is setting its sights on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in new TV and newspaper advertisements in Milwaukee. The ads are paid for by a group calling itself the Wisconsin Elections Committee, based in Racine County. It makes debunked claims against Megan Wolf and threatens to unseat Voss if he doesn't impeach her. Governor Evers admits he hasn't visited any state prisons recently, even though three inmates have died in 4 months. Prisoners in Waupun, Green Bay, and Stanley have had to stay in their cells around the clock since March due to staffing shortages. Families say they're concerned about their mental and physical health. Evers says his corrections secretary visits the Waupun prison every day. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW 97.9, the talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. A man charged with killing two women earlier this year is now being accused of assaulting a correctional officer in the Brown County Jail. The Brown County Sheriff's Office says 49-year-old Richard Sotka attacked an officer on the morning of October 12th. Sotka is awaiting trial for the murders of Rhonda Sigelski and Paula O'Connor in January at an apartment on Green Bay's east side. In an effort to save lives, November is Move Over or Slow Down Month. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has more.
Our first responders have a dangerous job, and too many are injured or killed because of secondary crashes. In Wisconsin, you are required to move out of the lane closest to emergency and roadside service vehicles. If you can't move over, you must slow down. Last year, over 300 on-duty workers were hurt and 5 were killed. Drivers play a critical role in keeping first responders and workers safe on our roadways.
That's what you need to know. Pete Schwabe, 97.9 News.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Bucks fall to the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Toronto Raptors were hitting shots from all over the floor on the way to a 113-111 win over the Milwaukee Bucks last night. The Bucks are now 500 with 2 wins and 2 losses. They host the New York Knicks tomorrow night. NFL, Packers players react to the news that defensive back Rasul Douglas was traded at the deadline to Buffalo. Quarterback Jordan Love on trading the veteran for a third-round draft pick.
Yeah, I think everybody in the locker room was pretty surprised by it. You know, it's tough. It hurts. You know, Rasul is a key part of the team, you know, great leader and a great player. So everyone hates to see him leave.
The Packers dealing with a 4-game losing streak. They host the Rams on Sunday. General manager Brian Gutekunst took questions from the media and was asked, how does he think Jordan Love is doing so far at quarterback?
You know, we got 10 games left. He's going to be very important 10 games. And, you know, I think he's done a lot of really good things. Really like the way he's responded to the adversity, how he's led the team. Again, we got to be better as a unit.
That's the Packers' Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy tonight with a low of 35.
Southwesterly winds,
5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 49. Lows around 32. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 45.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday, that makes it Friday Eve. It's a happier, happy hour, and your calls, they're always welcome here. This hour is for the lovers and the haters, Dom, at 844-967-2789.
But we prefer the haters, lovers. Bernie? We're not trying hard enough. We don't get any haters. Come on.
They're just spineless and weak, Dom.
Okay.
You know what I take a little glee in? The Trump boys testifying in the New York fraud trial today.
Excellent.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer pair. You know, the Beavis and Butthead of criminal fraud, Dom. While Trump's sons distanced themselves from the financial statements in a New York fraud trial testimony.
Those financial statements were just coffee boys.
Here's the interesting part before I dive in from the Ella Lee reporting at the Hill. You realize the finding has already been a fraud.
Right.
This is not a jury trial. So to go out there and, oh, make me look sexy, Don Jr. told the sketch artist. Well, that's all for show, Dom. Because the only jury in this trial at this point is Judge Ingeron, right? And the threshold is 50.01%. It's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's just plus one. So keep that in mind as we learn about the testimony, the very evasive testimony of the Trump boys. And, you know, they could both theoretically face criminal charges for this time. You know, this is a civil trial, but they didn't have to testify. In fact, they'd have been better off pleading the fifth. I don't want to testify. I want to keep my options open effectively. Against self-incrimination. I plead the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, as is my right to do. All citizens
have that right. And that is their right, but this is a civil case, and Judge Ingeron can then, you know, have a negative inference because of that.
He can throw out their credibility at his own discretion now, Dom. That is already at the judge's discretion.
Has a BS meter, and I don't think he's falling for what the brothers are saying.
But they are exposing themselves to criminal liability by giving testimony. So just keep that in mind. Dom, in back-to-back testimonies Thursday, former President Donald Trump's two adult sons, you know, Beavis and Butthead, distanced themselves from the Trump Organization financial statements, key to the New York Attorney General's case against their family business. both Don Jr. and Eric Trump denied any involvement in their father's financial statements, suggesting instead they relied on accountants and other experts to make sure the numbers were correct. Were they ever presented to you, boys? Did you sign them? Somebody signed the taxes. The Trump Organization statements of financial condition, which detail the value of various assets, were sent to banks and insurers to secure loans and deals, Dom, lots of deals, and are at the heart of the Attorney General's lawsuit, which claims the Trump Organization falsely inflated and deflated the value of its assets to receive lower taxes and better insurance coverage. And Trump's eldest son, Don Jr., testified yesterday that he signed off on the father's financial statements as an executive vice president of the Trump Org and trustee of the trust that held Trump's assets. Remember when he came out, the newly elected President Trump, and he had that lawyer in a big stack of stuff?
Yeah, lots of papers.
A lot of papers. He's going to sign off. He was going to make himself beyond reproach, Don, by signing off on the family business. But then he put his two sons in charge, and his sons, apparently, by their own testimony, can't even read a spreadsheet, Don. So who was really in charge? Was it Weisselman?
Weisselberg.
My bad. Weisselberg. Here's one quote from Don Jr., and then I'll let you take it where you're going to, Dom. As a trustee, I have an obligation to listen to those who are expert, who have an expertise of these things, said Fredo Jr. Right? Like, it's not my job to understand anything, but to be an active listener to those with the real expertise. It
works that way when you are the trustee, if you have a position of a power like that. The Hill goes on to state, Eric Trump, the former president's second son, also denied involvement, testifying that he never had anything to do with the statement of financial condition. But state lawyer Andrew Amer later pointed to a 2013 email Eric Trump received from another company executive asking for information needed to fill out Trump's financial statement, according to the AP. So you did know about your father's annual financial statement as of August 2013, the attorney asks. It appears that way, Eric Trump said. Trump's legal team has so far attempted to shift the blame for the statement's skewed numbers from the former president and his family onto the accountants who calculated them. Ex-Trump accountant Daniel Bender testified under cross-examination for nearly a full week at the start of the trial, where Trump's lawyers sought to portray him as negligent. During an argument over questions Trump's lawyers were asking Bender during the trial's first week, the judge said that the accountant is not on trial here. I would disagree with that, said Chris Keyes, Trump's attorney. His thoroughness, and he got paid millions a year to do. He was a certified public accountant. He has certain responsibilities. He seems to recall only what the government wants him to recall, Trump's attorney said. We need to be allowed to parse the evidence. You're not allowed to waste time, Ingram replied. That is what this is becoming. Even before the trial began, the judge found that Trump, the Trump Organization, and the sons were liable for fraud, as Crudy mentioned, after ruling that the New York Attorney General's office had proved the crux of its case. The decision stripped some of Trump's business licenses and put at risk some of his famed properties, though an appeal court halted the cancellation of the licenses until after it hears the case. Trial will determine how much money the defendants owe. On Wednesday, an expert witness hired by the New York Attorney General's office testified that the Trump Organization balloon financial statements may have cost banks more than $168 million. Of course, AG Tish James asking for $250 million in damages and penalties. Trump's expected to testify in the sprawling fraud trial next week.
You know how I heard it described, at least on the Twitter today? What's perjury that? Is on the menu.
Yeah.
And you know who's making that accusation against her cousin, Mary Trump? Mary Trump says cousin Eric lost the entire case at trial, and it was over the incident you just described, Dom. The ex-president's son, Eric, he's the smart one, question mark, gave up the entire case on behalf of the Trump Org at a trial hearing on Thursday, according to his cousin, Mary. There's something about Mary, Dom. Mary Trump, Donald Trump's niece and a psychologist, has consistently criticized her uncle and his family business. She recently predicted that Ivanka would throw her father under the bus. Do you share that assessment with Mary Trump, Dom? When Ivanka, if forced to testify on Wednesday, Is she going to be candid or perjure herself? Because if she's candid,
throw him under the bus. Yeah,
Daddy's going under the bus. All 18 wheels, possibly.
I mean, come on, she's Trump's daughter, right? I mean, she is a Trump. If she smells blood in the water, and she has no option, why wouldn't she?
Here is what Mary Trump claimed today via Twitter, I guess. Eric testified today and basically just lost the entire case. I take a little glee at that. She noted that after testifying, he never heard about the Trump Org statement of financial condition until recently. He later admitted he knew about it in 2013. Recently would seem like 2023, but he knew about it a decade ago. So, yes, that would be a little perjury, right, Dom?
It seems hard to believe, and I find it very difficult to believe that this judge would accept what either of these guys are saying at the face value.
Well, here's what Mary Trump says. They lie so much they can't even keep track of their own, let's just say, BS, Dom.
Right.
She added Thursday, sounds like perjury is on today's menu.
Meat's back on the menu, boys. 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, you just stole it. They lie so much, they don't even remember what they said from one day to... I mean, here's another thing. He claims all this today, okay? I seem to remember Trump himself, after he got elected, saying, I'll no longer be able to hit... do anything with my businesses. I'll be too busy. I won't. I'm turning it all over to the kids. I won't be able to golf anymore. Remember that?
Yeah. Barely found time to golf, that guy.
Right. Right. The poor guy. And you know, so which is it? So the kid says he has nothing to do with it. The old man, when he took office, said, I'm turning this over to the kids. You know, you ought to maybe keep your story straight and talk to each other, which I don't think they're doing personally. And I think the only reason she won't, the daughter, throw him under the bus is I think she's going to slip the noose. I think she's going to be able to stall this out through appeals. And I predicted this to a friend of mine. Oh no, she has to show. I said, she ain't going to show. She was originally supposed to be there this week.
And well, now it's next. She was originally supposed to be there as a defendant, Dick. So,
right. And I don't think she shows at all. I'm going to tell you that right now. I do not think she's going to have to testify. She'll.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hoping you're wrong, Dick, so I cut you short. Didn't mean to.
Thanks, Dick.
I think that the Trump org will put forth a more credible senior VP or perhaps CEO. And I've got a candidate for you, Dom. You know, because if these Trump boys don't understand financial dealings, maybe. They should turn to someone with real credibility, like George Santos.
Santos, I knew you were going there.
It's a long windup for an obvious joke, but you know that's what we do here, at least sometimes. Dad jokes, welcome. Your calls, welcome. 844-967-2789. Don't let your kids grow up to be Trumpkins. Come back with us. Join us on the phones if you must, if you want to. Must. I was thinking of a specific caller. Not currently in the queue, but I'm not invoking his name. I'm not saying Candyman, Candyman, Candyman.
No, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Devils, devils, devils. More devils. Come on back. 844-96 party.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Small businesses represent the lifeblood of every community. In Wisconsin, small businesses represent 99.4% of all businesses. Their importance to our economy, especially our rural livelihood, cannot be overstated. Entrepreneurs must be innovative and have a growth mindset in order to keep pace. Business owners and employees of small businesses can attend a free presentation by small business expert Fred Hochberg. Hochberg is former head of the Small Business Administration, the Export-Import Bank of the United States, and the Lillian Vernon Corporation. His presentation presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, takes place on Wednesday, November 8th at the UW Green Bay Marinette Campus. Hochberg will share ideas for how rural businesses can thrive in today's marketplace. Funding for the presentation comes from the Tommy G. Thompson Center for Public Leadership. For more information on Fred Hochberg's November 8th presentation, Small Business Growth Strategies in Rural Communities, and to register for this free event, visit thompsoncenter.wisc.edu. That's thompsoncenter.wisc.edu.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the phones, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, while we see the Trump boys fighting for their business lives in the fraud trial in New York, the flip side of that coin, have you seen the financial disclosures of the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson? Apparently,
he doesn't have a bank account or not enough money in the bank account to meet the threshold requirement of disclosure.
He does not have a checking or savings account. I've seen it reported, although that seems illogical to me. Dom, where does he get his congressional paycheck deposited? Is he running down to a checking co?
You know what I mean?
I mean, the man's making $184,000 a year at his day job. So first and foremost, don't feel too bad for this speaker supposedly living paycheck to paycheck, Dom. But they're seeking sympathy over on the Foxy News for the man. Claim that Speaker Johnson lives paycheck to paycheck makes him relatable, says defenders. Yeah, like Scott Walker was when he was negative $73,500 on his financial disclosure statements the day he decided he was going to go run for governor, or pardon me, president.
President, yes.
He was almost $100,000 in the hole.
Yeah, but now he's making like 800 strong, leading the Young Americas Foundation.
Got the house in Pewaukee and a different place. Now, my understanding, two houses, this guy.
Hey, South, you know, it's just an investment in the future, Crudy.
Some Americans rallied behind House. I love my source, the Foxy News Digital. Some people are saying Americans rallied behind House Speaker Mike Johnson on Wednesday after a report nitpicked his personal finances and put a harsh spotlight on the possibility he lives paycheck to paycheck. Down the Daily Beast published a report headline, "Does new Speaker of the House Mike Johnson have a bank account?" Which featured a subhead that said, "He has never listed a bank account on his financial disclosure. In fact, on his newest disclosure, he doesn't list a single asset at all." The man has no assets. It's between assets, Dom.
He gives it all to the church and lets the church run it.
I'm less clear that that's the case. Over the course of 7 years, Johnson has never reported a checking or savings account in his name, nor in the name of his wife or any of his children, disclosures show. In fact, he doesn't appear to have money stashed in any investments, with his latest filing covering 2022 showing no assets whatsoever. Again, that according to the reporting over at the Daily Beast. Of course, it's unlikely Johnson doesn't actually have a bank account, Sullenberger, the reporter, said. What's more likely is Johnson lives paycheck to paycheck, so much so that he doesn't have enough money in his bank account to trigger the checking account disclosure rules for members of Congress. Well, that's the people's house, Dom. And many Americans rushed to Speaker Johnson's defense, with everyone from elected officials to cable news pundits, you know, the entire Fox News cast and Matt Gaetz.
They all got the memo.
Here is what Matt Gaetz was tweeting out in his support, Dom. The Daily Beast is furious that at Speaker Johnson isn't rich, corrupt, or rich from being corrupt. He doesn't have a shady business deals. Are you describing Trump's resume right now, Matt Gaetz?
Sounds like it.
He doesn't trade stocks as a congressman. Cry more, I guess? And then there's Rep. Chip Roy from Texas, also a Republican, Dom. A lot of Republican support. Lauren Boebert will be next, but I got a couple more. Let me just throw them out there for you.
All right.
So to the extent accurate, he's like a lot of Americans right now, while also navigating raising a large family. What a monster. Well, I would point out, the average American family is not living paycheck to paycheck at $185,000 a year. The average family makes like 75 grand a year, and they're struggling. Some are. I know a lot of people are. I talk to them, Dom. People are struggling to pay the bills. They see the raise it, especially the cost of food, is affecting many people's households. But it's hard to, you know, it's hard to feel bad for a guy who's making $185,000 a year living paycheck to paycheck, Dom. With no assets, no retirement, no bank accounts. Is he doing it like Clarence Thomas does over at the Supreme Court? Does he just get by, you know, on the graces of rich friends?
Yes.
Because that's what Scott Walker did for years and years, right? That's what Ron DeSantis is doing through his super PAC. Well, he has his super PAC, invite him to an event, and then they fly him down there private because he doesn't like to fly commercial, Dom. And then he arrives, and that, of course, is a blatant skirting of campaign finance laws. But who needs to own a private jet when your donors do?
Yeah.
And that's how Scott Walker did it for years, right? They just give millions of dollars, and all his buddies were moving those millions around, and they got to take 15% off the top. So a lot of his buddies, talking about Scott Walker's buddies, they were doing quite well. But Wanker didn't even have a good suit, Dom. Driving a Saturn, eating bologna and, oh, my bad, ham and cheese. He had quite...
Brown bagging it, yes.
Falling listen, down to bologna standards.
I like bologna. Whether or not the guy lives paycheck to paycheck, you know, that's certainly tough. A lot of folks do, and we can understand that. My greater concern is what is he not reporting? Is there something to report? Is he skirting the issue? You know, is he playing games somehow? I mean, presumably, his wife had this, remember, the Christian consulting business for a while, and he's in Congress, so they're making money, right? So where is it going? I mean, I don't know what the threshold is, $5,000, maybe. I don't know what the actual limits are, but if it's hard to imagine how you could get a direct deposit, $180,000 divided by 26 weeks. That probably deposit, you know, meets that whatever threshold there is. I don't know, but I am concerned. I don't know how you can have a Speaker of the House that lists zero assets. And I'm not concerned because I think, he doesn't know how to manage his money or those kind of. I'm concerned because it seems odd to be in that position and now in that position of power to have nothing to report to the American people. That just seems odd to me.
I do have a little problem with this budgeting standards, Dom. If this man is supposed to be the Speaker of the House, he is supposed to effectively move the checkbook of the American people. And this guy can't do a little better job managing? Or can't be a little more transparent in his disclosure? Which, well, I suspect is the greater problem. 844-967-2789. Tom from McFarland. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And I think now we understand why the Republicans are so hot to trot to defund the IRS. Because I'm quite confident that they do not want the IRS taking a look at Johnson's finances. This is not a matter of living paycheck to paycheck. This is entirely a matter of just hiding something. Keep in mind that before he went into Congress, he certainly listed a bank account, as seen on his podcast, which had to disclose financials. So there was certainly an account that was listed when they were doing the podcast, and he's still continuing to do the podcast. No, he went underground the minute that he entered Congress. So that right there tells me there's something going on. He also has a mortgage, which he's paying. He has insurance. He has a cell phone. So it's obvious he has expenses.
Well, you know, cash is good for any expense, public or private, unless I'm paying Dom, which I may never do. Come back, more Devils.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't divulge information about that customer's secret illegal account.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to end race-based considerations in higher education programs take another step. The Assembly Colleges and Universities Committee takes up a bill today. Among other things, it would guarantee admission to Wisconsin State Universities and Technical College for high school students who graduate in the top 5% of their class. It would also take race out of the equation for financial aid decisions. Governor Evers says he's leaning on Senate Democrats to get an American Family Field Maintenance Bill passed. Democrats have said they don't like that the bill spends almost $500 million in public money, but asks for much less from the Milwaukee Brewers. The governor says he's persuaded some Democrats to vote for the bill. He says any significant changes might kill Democratic support. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Human remains have been found on the Menominee Indian Reservation in Keshena. The Menominee Tribal Police Department says a hunter found the remains in a wooded area on Monday, October 30th. Menominee authorities will partner with the FBI as they try to identify the victim and how they died. Authorities say the community is not believed to be in any danger. There is such a thing as a free lunch. If you attend the Manitowoc Public Schools, that is, the district announced it is reinstating its free lunch program that was recently canceled. Superintendent James File recently pulled the free lunch for all program, but applied to have it reinstated after an outcry from parents. File said he only ended the program so he could put the funds toward other school programs. The USDA approved the MPSD waiver request, and the free meal program will start again Monday, November 6th.
It's a sunny day here in northeast Wisconsin with the highs in the low to mid-40s.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Mino and the Mayor.
Very honored to have Chester Markle joining us.
You had some challenges with alcohol. You have done a great job getting that message out.
You know, it takes a long time to get it for some people. You know, my responsibility to every community and every place I go is to give back what others gave to me when I didn't know how to get it.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
The Bucks fall to the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Toronto Raptors were hitting shots from all over the floor on the way to a 113-111 win over the Milwaukee Bucks last night. The Bucks are now 500 with 2 wins and 2 losses. They host the New York Knicks tomorrow night. NFL Packers players react to the news that defensive back Rasul Douglas was traded at the deadline to Buffalo. Quarterback Jordan Love on trading the veteran for a third-round draft pick.
Yeah, I think everybody in the locker room was pretty surprised by it. You know, it's tough. It hurts. You know, Rasul was a key part of the team, you know, a great leader and a great player. So everyone hates to see him leave.
The Packers dealing with a 4-game losing streak. They host the Rams on Sunday. General manager Brian Gutekunst took questions from the media and was asked, how does he think Jordan Love is doing so far at quarterback?
You know, we got 10 games left. He's going to be very important 10 games. And, you know, I think he's done a lot of really good things. Really like the way he's responded to the adversity, how he's led the team. Again, we got to be better as a unit.
That's the Packers, Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy tonight with a low of 35. Southwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 49. Lows around 32. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 45.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where the fans own the team. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm being chastised on the text line, Dom. Hey, Crudy.
What'd you do?
Quit hating on bologna sandwiches.
Yeah, man.
You're going to make me and Dom cry, says Andrew. Andrew also says the caller who cannot be named. We know who he is. He has not been invoked, so no, there will be no time made. Not in the short run. Let's see what else we got here. Here's a question from a 920 texter. Something I've been curious about. I have many, many curiosities. Can a person have an LLC, have all the income go to the LLC, and then have the LLC pay them a salary? My first blush is yes. I owned an LLC once upon a time. I derived a salary from the LLC. And in fact, I personally was also responsible for any taxation on profit at a lower tax rate, at a different tax rate, because I didn't have to pay FICA, SUTA, or the employer or employee taxes on that, let's call it, profit portion of my income. So you pay W-2 to yourself for a certain portion, and then the rest are dividends, and they're taxed at, what, 15%? Same as long-term cap gains. So that's how I played the game, and that's how my accountant set it up. You know, I always rely upon my accountants and the experts.
Yeah, so it's very, very wise, sage advice, Curdy. But if you're referring to Speaker Mike Johnson to divert money that he would, but he would still, you know, because the U.S. government's paying him, right? He gets the check. Now, he could take that check, deposit it, and then take all the funds and divert it into an LLC for a purpose, I guess. But he would have to have an owner contribution to the LLC unless he's deriving revenue for that LLC, that corporate limited liability corporation, through, you know, some business, a service or manufacturing something. He's got to sell something. He's got to make revenue. You could, if you're just going to self-fund it from your W-2 from the government, I'm not sure exactly what you'd be hiding or what you'd get away with in doing so.
Well, another texter on the WAUK line, the 414, has a speculation where Speaker Mike Johnson's money all went, spent on gambling and whores. Yeah. Now, Dom, you had sent
a lot of bingo at church, man.
You had sent a little piece to me. The what would you say about Ivanka? Poor Ivanka being hauled into court to testify against her daddy next week. Wednesday is her anticipated date. But the CNBC is reporting, Dom, she's hesitant to go because that's right in the middle of the school week.
Ivanka Trump asked a New York appeals court to pause the $250 million fraud trial of her family and its business empire as she appeals a judge's order requiring her to testify in the case next week. The request to stay the entire trial came at the tail end of a Thursday court filing argument that Ivanka Trump will face, quote unquote, undue hardship if forced to testify, in part because she's scheduled to appear, quote, in the middle of a school week.
Is she gonna bake the brownies? What's the deal?
New York Attorney General Tish James urged the appeals court to reject the request, calling it a drastic and baseless move that would upend an ongoing trial. Ivanka Trump's filing in the First Judicial Department of the New York Supreme Court Appellate Division mainly sought a temporary stay of the order for her testimony while she pursues an appeal. On Wednesday, her attorney filed notice. She's appealing each and every part of Manhattan Supreme Court Judge Arthur Engoron's order rejecting her bid to avoid the witness stand. She's currently expected to begin testifying on Wednesday. It's the middle of the school week. Didn't your husband just get like $2 billion from the Saudis? You know, can't get a car.
You're implying they could afford an au pair or perhaps a nanny, Dom.
I'm suggesting that would be the
maybe
case, not.
Maybe they could run down a Quick Trip and buy some pre-made brownies for the bake sale. Maybe
Mike Johnson could come over and watch the kids for a couple hours while while she's testifying. Apparently, maybe he needs the babysitting money.
Now, Dom, there's a new... Careful. Don't want to link too many Republican speakers with babysitters, Dom. But wanted to talk about the new efforts to block Donald Trump from the ballot. And today, or very recently, it's being reported he's disqualified. Minnesota Supreme Court hears arguments on Trump's ballot eligibility. And something else is going on. Another concurrent trial happening in Colorado right now, Dom.
Yeah.
If he gets blocked from enough ballots, dude, he's got no chance, even though he might be the designated Republican. I think he will be, but we'll argue about that at a different time and place. Election attorney Ron Fine told the Minnesota Supreme Court on Thursday, that's today, Dom, that former President Donald Trump should be considered, and here's his quote, disqualified from the presidential ballot until he receives amnesty from Congress
for
leading an insurrection on January 6, 2021. Now, when he said that, my immediate reaction is, oh, God, what's the standard for being granted amnesty? Because you got MAGA Mike Johnson over there as Speaker of the House, right? Could this happen? Well, let's tell the people what the standard would be. First and foremost, a little more of the reporting at the Raw story here, Dom. At the hearing before the court, Fain seemed to take the position that Trump could not be placed on the state's ballot because of his actions on January 6th. The 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution bars insurrectionists from running for office. And at one point during Fain's presentation, he touched on the extremely, and I mean this is extremely hypothetical possibility, that Congress could provide amnesty to Trump under the Constitution, Dom. Two-thirds of Congress would have to vote to exempt him if he participated in an insurrection. Two-thirds, both houses. A little bit more here. It is extremely speculative that Trump would receive amnesty from two-thirds of both houses of Congress, Fain explained. He hasn't even asked for amnesty to this date, and this court has said that it does not decide questions that are purely hypothetical. They leave that to the U.S. Supreme Court, right, Dom? Fain concluded, he's disqualified unless and until two-thirds of Congress, both houses, grant him amnesty. They will not, Tom.
They will not. Also, MSNBC has this up, an interview with conservative retired jurist Judge Luttig. Remember Judge Luttig? He testified at the January 6th committee hearing, talking specifically about the 14th Amendment. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the judge says, disqualifies any person having taken an oath to support the Constitution of the United States, thereafter engages in an insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution of the United States, disqualifying that person from holding high public office in the future, including the presidency. So it's more than just a prescription that and disqualification for anti-democratic conduct by an individual. But in this circumstance, the judge says, it is that and it would apply in this instance to disqualify the former president from holding the presidency again because of his effort, plan, and attempt to overturn the 2020 presidential election, knowing he had lost that election to then candidate Joe Biden. He goes on. This is very, very important. Section 3 disqualifies one who has engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution of the United States, not an insurrection or rebellion against the United States or the authority of the United States. And so that's the issue in Colorado and in Minnesota and in other states that are currently involved in the constitutional process to determine whether the former president is disqualified. A question from the journalist. What do you think of the criticism that suggests it's wrong to keep Trump off the ballot using this process as opposed to letting the voters decide, quote unquote, as a critic would say? Judge Luttig responds, I have seen that criticism, if you will, of applying Section 3 to the former president. And it concerned me because it's a legitimate question to be asked. But I've responded publicly to that concern by explaining that the disqualification that's provided under Section 3 is not itself anti-democratic at all. Rather, it's the conduct that can result in disqualification under the 14th Amendment that the Constitution says is anti-democratic. So there's no question whatsoever that disqualification of an individual who satisfies the condition of disqualification in Section 3 is not anti-democratic. Again, it's the conduct that gives rise to disqualification that the Constitution tells us is anti-democratic. And I've heard this also brought up. You also have to be a citizen of this country. If you're not, you can't be on the ballot. You also have to be a certain age to run for president. If you're not, you can't be on the ballot. So there are, I mean, I'm down with this, man. And I think I know it's you know, the Minnesota right now, Minnesota Supreme Court is hearing this. The Hill is reporting an effort to keep Trump off the ballot on the 14th Amendment reached the Minnesota Supreme Court on Thursday. The case brought by a left-leaning nonprofit, one of multiple across the country, seeking to prevent Trump from returning to the presidency under the clause which provides that anyone who took an oath of office to support the Constitution and then engaged in an insurrection cannot hold office. Thursday's arguments concerned several legal issues the nonprofit must prevail on so their case can move ahead. One, does the clause apply to presidents? Can the provision be enforced without legislation from Congress? Is the issue a political question outside of the court's authority? Five Minnesota Supreme Court justices, four of whom were appointed by Democrats, are weighing the case after two others on the court recused. Several justices Thursday expressed concerns about the various threshold issues. I think your argument about the political question doctrine is, I think that's a very serious problem for the other side in this case. Barry Anderson, a judge, told Trump's attorney. So this is out there. This is obviously in Colorado and in Minnesota. Should be in every state as far as I'm concerned. But we do have age requirements. We have citizenship requirements. We also have, you know, you can't be an insurrectionist bastard requirements. And I think Donald Trump certainly squarely falls into that. Let's not forget, for 3 hours, he did nothing while his supporters beat the hell out of your, you know, thin blue line police officers, Republicans. And you seem okay with that. And then we get, you know, Senator Johnson, you know, telling us, oh, no, they were peaceful protesters. They stayed inside the velvet ropes and they give their, you know, the recordings to Tucker Carlson and show, oh, look, you know, the crazy people are just wandering around. It's all peaceful. Yeah, it's all peaceful and fine. They stayed the velvet ropes until they didn't, until they broke in the windows, until they crapped all over the walls, until they beat the hell out of cops with flags and clubs and sticks. I mean, this is I can't believe this is even a question. Of course he engaged in it. And what'd he do when he finally said go home? They went home. So for 3 hours, he engaged in and let his supporters beat the hell out of cops to stop and go against the United States Constitution. I think it's very clear. Does anyone, are they going to have the moxie to do it? Who knows? But I don't know. I don't know. What other example do you need? It's very evident.
I need a conviction. That would be the standard.
It is not the standard.
Even truth. Trump is entitled to due process. He is getting a trial right now before the Minnesota Supreme Court. And he's also got a trial going on in the state of Colorado right now. And here are a couple of the witnesses called today. Representative Ken Buck, Republican from Colorado, and Eric Swalwell for the prosecution in Colorado. Prosecution being those seeking to block Trump from being on the ballot. But Ken Buck took the stand today in a case attempting to disqualify the former President Trump from appearing on the 2024 ballot in Colorado. And with the GOP congressman appearing as a witness on behalf of the Trump campaign's attorneys, attempting to discredit the House Select Committee that investigated the J6 dump. The case centers on whether Trump's actions and speeches during and before the J6 riots could fall under the clause of the 14th Amendment that bans those who participate or assist in insurrection from federal office. Now, the plaintiffs have argued that Trump's actions supported the rioters who eventually stormed the Capitol amid Congress's official Electoral College count vote for the 2020 election. Trump lost that one, Dom, if you were unaware. Buck, now understand, he is a witness for Trump. Here is what he said. Buck described a chaotic scene on January 6th as Capitol Police attempted to barricade the House chamber from approaching rioters. A police officer came to the microphone and said that tear gas had been dispersed, and we were advised that there were gas masks under our seats and we should deploy those gas masks. There was clear indication there was a danger at that point. I came back to my office rather than the secure committee room, and I saw on TV what was going on, and I thought, oh my goodness, there's a lot of people out there. Is that what you thought? Ken Buck went on to testify that he asked Kevin McCarthy to put him on the January 6th committee so he could cross-examine the witnesses. Despite the chaos, he is describing in testimony as a witness for Trump. You know, he wanted to be on Team Trump at the J6. You know, no real representation except for Liz and Adam Kinzinger. Liz Cheney, that is. More Devils come back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back. We're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
Dominic, don't forget, support our friends at the Walworth County Democratic Party with a one-year-to-win gala fundraiser this Saturday night. I will be amongst the very fine speakers. Mostly the fine speakers are not named Crudy. They include Sarah Godlewski, Greta Neubauer, and Minority Leader of the State Senate, our friend Melissa Agard. And then I'll be there just, you know, talking between the smart people. Dom, that is a fundraiser, but they got culinary delights, cash bar, live music, friends, and speakers, and a cork pull in an epic silent auction. Epic. Be there. One last thought here. Lake Lawn Resort, Delavan, Wisconsin, this Saturday, November 4th, 5 to 9 p.m. Bring your checkbook. Give a few bucks to the Walworth County Democratic Party. They do good work.
Crudy, your buddy, George Santos. You brought him up earlier. Let's get to that before we run out of time again. 844.
He looks more like you than me. I don't wear glasses.
The Hill reporting, a total of 31 Democrats joined 182 Republicans in voting to keep George Santos in Congress Wednesday, killing a Republican-led effort to oust the embattled lawmaker. Huh?
The He's lower a chamber greater voted, embarrassment in the House, Dom. I mean,
lower chamber voted 213, 179, 9, and 19 against a resolution to expel Santos, making the second unsuccessful attempt this year to eject the first-term lawmaker from the House. A two-thirds threshold is needed to expel a member of Congress. A total of 31 Democrats and 182 Republicans voted against the resolution, while 24 Republicans and 155 Democrats voted to expel Santos. Of course, he faces 23 federal charges ahead of his trial slated to begin September 2024. He pled not guilty last week to a set of 10 new criminal charges in a superseding indictment. In May, he was charged on 13 counts of misleading donors, fraudulently receiving unemployment benefits, and lying on House financial disclosures. So, I mean, obviously some political strategy, games, however you want to call it, going on here. I don't know why you wouldn't want to kick the guy out, but look at some of these Democrats who voted to keep him on. Gwen Moore from Wisconsin, Jamie Raskin, Zoe Lofgren. I mean, these are folks that I respect. So obviously there's, to my interpretation here, there's some political games and shit going on, but why wouldn't you want just to get rid of the guy? So there we go. I mean, I guess he's a greater liability for the Republicans leaving him in there, but he's also a greater liability for America leaving him in there. But you know, what do I know about politics?
Come on, Dom. 434, 435. What's the difference? One George Santos? You never know when they might have to oust another speaker, though. They might need his vote, though.
When they come for George Santos next, they're coming for, yeah, they come for Trump, they came for George Santos, and they're coming for you next. No! Just don't be a fraudulent bastard. They're probably not going to happen. You'll be fine.
844-967-2789. We've got a couple of texters. Now, here, and this one, I hate to take on this late in the show, Dom, because by the texter's own admission, this is not a very popular opinion. Texter on the WMDX line, 92.7 line, says, my take on January 6th. Again, this is not very popular, but you also have to look at what happened the summer before. Peaceful protests followed by thuggish riots in many cities, including Madison and State Street. And I think what the texter is referring to is there was a peaceful Black Lives Matter protest in this town. Both Michael Johnson and I were in attendance that day. Brandy Grayson, she does a show around here. Very peaceful event. And then like an hour and a half later, people are kicking in windows down on State Street where we now reside here as Civic Media. And this texter says, peaceful protests followed by thuggish riots in many cities, including Madison and State Street. Police officers were told that even the riots were simply peaceful protests. I'm not clear that that's the case, but I'm just reading someone else's text. So here's the conclusion of the texter, Dom. So when January 6th happened, they just said, well, it's not riots, it's a peaceful protest, and they let them in. It didn't strike me as being a peaceful protest. You know, when they were knocking on the doors with like shields they had taken from Capitol Police officers, and when they were shooting the bear spray, Dom, you know, I was at the Black Lives Matter protest, air quotes here in Madison, seemed like a peaceful event. Didn't see any bear spray. Didn't see any attempts to accost police officers, Capitol or otherwise. I just don't recall those things, texter, happening. So I get that that's been the narrative on the Foxy News. Well, they burned down cities all across America. Did they? Did they being Black Lives Matter? No, not to most of the facts I've seen subsequently, where it was usually either outside instigators or some other people that had their own agenda. But what I cannot analogize, what I cannot say is the same, is what happened on January 6th. They were specifically targeting Capitol Police officers. They were specifically targeting the peaceful transfer of power here in the United States, Tom.
They were specifically targeting the Constitution, Crudy. I mean, that's the case. And you know, the Black Lives Matter protests, what, having a protest against cops killing an inordinate amount of unarmed Black men? I mean, these are entirely different situations. And yes, any protest can get out of control. And you certainly have instigators. I think there was one in Minneapolis, some guy from Texas, you know, helped start a bunch of that stuff. And, you know, when the mob rules, people go along. Those things happen. But generally speaking, Crudy, I these are entirely different situations and for entirely different causes. I mean, the Donald Trump summoned the mob. He sent the mob to the Capitol, right? To what? To intimidate.
Go peacefully.
Go to hang.
You know,
Mike
some Republicans going to say, go peacefully. He said it. So that exempts him from any culpability for everything else he said.
Al Capone said, have a nice day one time before a bunch of people got murdered in his name. That doesn't take away from the fact that he organized this thing, he promoted this thing, and he sat on his ass while his supporters, while the Trump Davidians attacked the police and the Capitol, man.
Dominic, I want to thank our most recent, earlier guest, Adam Voskel with Midwest Environmental Advocates. Thanks for coming to talk about CAFOs. Tomorrow on the big show, we got Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign bringing Nick back for Friday Grievances. You all better come back for Friday Grievances. Now, don't forget, stick around. Maggie Dawn, the second greatest radio show ever, The Maggie Dawn Show. It's up next. You're going to want to stick around for that. And then Raised in the Wisco with our pal Joel Clayfish. Keep it locked. Civic Media, thanks for listening.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.